All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson today. Real quick, listen to Christian McCaffrey.
It's a play that I have to make, absolutely have to make. Expect nothing less but to make that play, and it's completely on me.
It's not, Christian. It's not. That fingernail or tip of the finger was probably the difference between him catching it and not. It may have redirected the ball 6 inches.
These things happen.
It hit him in both hands.
I'm just saying.
Did he have 10 fingers?
I'm just saying.
Catch the ball.
It's not all his fault. The ball got tipped.
Dude, you're talking about wherever. Yeah. Wherewithal. Whoever that linebacker is for the Niners, who is Sir Francis Drake Thomas? Who is that guy? I've never seen him before. And he was the best player, well, at least statistically, for Seattle of the linebacking core. I know Ernest Jones. I know Devon Witherspoon. I know other guys on that. I don't know who Sir Francis Drake Thomas is, but he came up with the biggest play of the game. And your best player on offense can't do it? I'm sorry. There's no excuse.
Well, there's no excuse.
You also all put the ball on the turf in the Super Bowl. You want to go there?
All I'm saying is Christian McCaffrey's doing the right thing and saying it's 100% all on me. No, it's not. Might be 90. Might be 90.
99.
No.
0.9.
Only 90 for me. Ball got tipped. But I don't know. Do you want to go there?
I didn't know it was tipped until you saw the inch-by-inch replay.
And then you could see it redirected a little bit.
But the point was, Steiny.
I'm not saying he shouldn't have caught it.
People in real time are blaming Brock or blaming
I'm
this,
not blaming,
blaming
Brock.
That.
I'm just saying the ball got. Yes, but the ball got tipped. Could it have been thrown better? That's all I'm asking.
If that was a backup running back, you're killing him today. But because it's Christian McCaffrey, we got to protect McCaffrey.
Oh, my. Let me guess. You're one of these guys who thinks, well, he now dropped.
You disappoint
by the way,
me.
They were down 10
you
when
disappoint
he dropped
me.
It. Secondly, let me guess.
If that was Curry, you would be going after him. If that was any of the big boys on the Dubs, you would be talking about it. But because it's McCaffrey,
I just said it's
we can't
90,
come down his road.
I said it's 90% his fault.
This is 438th catch of the
touchdown.
Well,
maybe you know what? Maybe all that caught up to him. The touches, the
pounding.
Are you
saying he's wearing down?
Maybe.
He's declining?
Possible.
McCaffrey.
Well, I'm just saying this year.
You know, you just got to look at his numbers and stuff.
Yeah, his numbers are great. Except in the biggest game of the year. By the way, and in all honesty, I'm having a little bit of fun. You couldn't just turn and give the ball to McCaffrey. Like, you couldn't, I think it was Sammy who said that before the break, you couldn't just turn and hand the ball off to McCaffrey. You know, he only had 12 rushes? Because you didn't have the ball. You didn't have the ball, and you couldn't run the ball.
I know. Like, that to me, I'm
with you
there.
You could do? You could throw it to him.
Well, that...
And they tried.
I know.
And he dropped it.
I mean, what team is... Has that been the only team this year that's taken McCaffrey out of the passing game? And then they also happen to do it in the running game, so he's no factor. Like,
I mean, Houston, I guess. But that's the thing. It's like elite defenses can do that. And the Niners...
Well, they're getting one next week.
You didn't even have Ricky Pearsall.
Well, they're getting an elite defense next week, aren't they?
They should be, yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm thinking is, you know, your offense struggled against Houston. It struggled against Seattle. You know, you struggle. If you don't put up points against Philly, I just said, like, what's that say about the offense? That, okay, you're
that
right.
They can be beat by great defenses.
Right, but I didn't know great defenses could shut us down.
Well, if you got Austin Pleasance protecting the blinds, I God love Pleasance, but that was an unpleasant performance, and I'm going to give myself a one. That was bad, just like that joke. The Niners on offense were unable to do anything. And I know that Brock ends up with the pick, and people are going to say he should have done more, but like, if you, I mean, seriously, and if people want to call in and, you know, voice their opinions, I'd love it. But, like, watching that football game, I'm sitting there wondering what the hell Brock Purdy is supposed to do. Nobody's open. He can't run. He's extending it plays as long as he can. The skedaddle and magic that was on full display a week ago on Sunday Night Football, there was no room for that. And Seattle just strangled him the entire game.
By the way, I know people are going to be like, well, you've always had a problem with this guy, Steiny. And you might be right. Kyle Juszczyk didn't belong on the field. he didn't belong on the field.
You are a new man in 2026.
That game was overwhelming for him.
Well, what's he supposed to do?
I just say turf? Well, no, he was a guy who was absolutely no factor. None.
He
zero.
Is no factor when it comes to gaining yards.
Go to him on fourth and one. Give me a break.
Well, he caught a touchdown last week.
Bottom line is, like, can the 49ers, who they're down Ayuk, they're down Pearsall, can they really afford to have an offensive player on the field that doesn't do anything but block when you're already down weapons?
Oh,
a thought.
He does a lot. Hey, how about part of this was also on the defense, too. Did you see George Kittle's stat line at halftime?
No.
4 catches for 9 yards. When has George Kittle ever had 4 catches for 9 yards in his life? He caught one behind the line of scrimmage and got hit for a loss of 5, and it was like he had nowhere to go.
I've never seen him get tackled like that before.
He's usually the one inflicting punishment, and that's also part of it, too. It's like there were just so many plays where, and this is what happens when good football teams go to head-to-head. You find out which guy goes forward and which guy goes backwards. And more often than not, when Seattle, whether it was on offense or defense, was hitting someone, the Niners were the team going backwards.
Yeah.
And they still had a chance.
Let's go to Dennis. Dennis is in San Francisco. Hey, Dennis, how you doing, man?
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Doing well. Thank you.
What's up, D?
Good, good, good. Well, you know, I thought that the Chicago game took a lot out of the Niners, and they surely didn't look ready to play against Seattle, but I think Seattle had a lot to do with that. They, you know, the Niners, I didn't expect them to be there. You know, I never expected them to be 12-5 this year. I mean, what they did in the offseason, you know, they didn't do anything in the offseason except for watch people go out the door. So I don't think they expected to be there either, because if they would have, don't you think that they would have liked to have had some defensive help on Saturday? You know, if they would have traded for somebody at the trade deadline, you know, to help the defense, that defense they've known since those injuries has been, you know, is you know, it's god awful. They can't tackle anybody. You know, they can't guard anybody in the pass patterns, and they can't tackle anybody. And, you know, and they've just had a tough time. I never expected them to be here, but I got caught up in two, and I was hoping that I got caught up in the excitement because, you know, like the offense, I've always been complaining about the offensive line, but I would say in the second half they played better. But you could see what happened to them on Saturday night. That offensive line was overwhelmed by Seattle's defensive front, and they had no answer for it. And that's basically the games are won and lost in the trenches. You know what I mean? I'm hoping they win in Philly, but I'm not really expecting them to win in Philly.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate the call. I will say this about the Chicago game, and I remember telling Goo this early last week. Remember how the Chicago game ended? It ended on the last play of the game, pretty much.
Yeah. No. I mean, it did. Yeah.
And I remember after the game was over, there were about 5 49ers that just stayed on the ground. You know what I mean? Just the game was over. Not that they were hurt, but
they were exhausted.
And it was, you could tell, like, that was an emotional win for the Niners last week. And, I mean, of course, I'm not saying they weren't ready to play this week, but I do think sometimes that takes a toll. The week before takes a toll. And that was a monster win for them last week. Let's go to Richie in Queens. Hey, Richie, what's going on, man?
Hey, boys, how are you? Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Rich.
Hey, that was a tremendous defensive game by Seattle. They were totally overwhelmed. You know, the thing I kind of attribute a little bit in the beginning, if you would have said that they give up 13 points, you probably would have sold. You would have said, wow, the way our offense is going, we're going to sneak in at least a couple of touchdowns, field goal. And then early enough where Donald, again, I know he played pretty good and there was no real mistakes, but with all the offense that they had, you would have thought they'd been up 21-0, and the Niners were in the game and had their opportunities, and then they slipped away. And I think, respectfully, I think that they really feel there's nobody going to beat them downfield. They played a lot of man-to-man. Ayuk is the guy that would open the field for them, open the screen passes. take away the linebackers a little bit? Would they have to play a little bit further back? So, yeah, I think those key – look, everybody has injuries, but you guys lost some key guys. And, you know, where you were 3 years ago with Samuel and Ayuk and guys like that, that just opened the field and made it so much better. And could it have been a better game plan maybe, a little bit more screen passes? But it was dominance. Now, against the Eagles, I followed them. I'm up in PA now. They're an enigma because they have everything going for them, but they just go into funks. They were up 21-3 or 21-0 against Dallas. They were up 13-0 the other game. They almost lost to Buffalo. Hurts didn't throw a pass the second half. You look at their offense with Brown and Smith and Goddard and obviously Barkley, and you wonder why they're not better. And their defense, their secondary can be beat. Purdy's going to have to really make some big plays. So. Could they go into Philly and win? It's not going to be that cold this weekend, guys. The forecast is going to be in the 40s. Yeah, they can because, again, Philly is not the same team as last year. But for them, like you talked about, one game away from getting home field all the way. That's major, and it's probably going to come back and bite them.
Yeah, good stuff.
Always a pleasure talking to you guys.
Yeah, same to you, Richie. Have a great, great new year. So how many years did McCaffrey overlap with Deebo Samuel? Was it just one?
One and a half, okay. Because he was traded middle of 22.
This is what I think Richie's talking about. Last time they went to the Super Bowl, didn't they have McCaffrey, Ayuk, Deebo, Kittle, and Jennings was their number two, pretty much?
Yeah, essentially.
So they went into that game yesterday with McCaffrey and Kittle.
Yep, and you could make a case that Kittle was probably not 100% because he was out the week before.
So that's the thing. They don't have a lot of weapons right now. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM at HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. I mean, yeah, we could talk about Philly all week. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine Philly's not going to want to run the football. I mean, this is when you can run Saquon Barkley 30 times if you need to, right?
Yes, but this is the thing, though. And the biggest difference between Philly and Seattle to me is on paper, you look at the Eagles and you say, why doesn't Saquon run the ball 30 times like he did last year? Well, because last year he averaged 6 yards a carry. This year he's averaging a little over 4. It's the same thing with McCaffrey. Why didn't the Niners just run McCaffrey? Because McCaffrey's averaging 3.9 yards per carry. Like, whether it's because of the offensive line or McCaffrey or the lack of weapons to take pressure off of him, they're not as good of a rushing offense as they've been in the past. Meanwhile, Seattle, I mean, you saw it. They had a buck 20 in the first half on the ground. I thought the Niners actually defensively played pretty well against the run in the second half. You saw them starting to load the box more. The Niners, at least in recent weeks, have been a team to typically play more of a 3-4, so they have 5 guys on the line of scrimmage. Against Seattle, they had mostly 4. You know, I thought in the second half it worked. They were not able to run the ball as much, and I thought that Sam Darnold had to make some plays, and he did enough. But, like, let me ask you this. Do you think the Seattle Seahawks, the way they played that game, did it seem like they trusted Sam Darnold to go beat the Niners? I don't. I don't think Kubiak wanted him to put the ball in. He made a couple plays, and he had one really nice pass to Smith and Jigba.
But
he had a couple of rushes on that final drive. But like Sam Darnold was not the reason why the Niners lost that football game.
No, I think Seattle came in with a game plan of we have to be the team that exploits this defense with the run and stay committed to it. And when we have the pass, we'll make safe passes. And I think that over the course of the game, they figured we're better than them at just about every aspect of the game. So eventually we'll win the game if we play smart, don't turn it over. Like, they didn't have to be super dynamic to beat the Niners. You know what I mean? I think they thought a good, solid football game without making mistakes will beat the Niners. By the way, somebody on the text line saying, you know, why talk about Ayuk and Deebo? They're gone. You're right. I don't want to talk about them. I'm just saying, compare the weapons on that Super Bowl team from a couple years ago to the weapons that they're throwing out there, that they threw out there Saturday night, and it's not even close. I mean, the reality of the situation is Ricky Pearsall is injury prone, and something happened with Brandon Ayuk. And when you score 3 points in the biggest game of the year and you can't throw the ball, then it's fair to look at what happened to the receiving core. And now it's, you got one young guy you got to be worried about that might not be able to make it through full seasons. And then you had your other guy who was your number one, and he's gone now. He's just gone. And while it's not the end of the world, it leaves you one quality receiver short.
Well, and this is going to sound harsh, but even if Ricky Pearsall had played in that game, he would have gotten hurt. Like, I'm dead ass serious. Like, you see the way they threw Juwan Jennings to the turf on his first catch?
Yeah, he was hurt too.
And he bit it, and yep, he played through that game, and he's tough as nails. Ricky Pearsall hasn't shown that he can play through a full football game and not get hurt against like a physical defense like that. So even if Pearsall was out there, I mean, he would have been on the sideline regardless. I mean, that's just the way that his career's kind of gone, unfortunately. But yeah, the Niners were thrown to DeMarcus Robinson and a less than 100% Juwan Jennings, and that's just not good enough against a secondary like that.
I mean, what I was kind of watching, what I felt like I was watching, and maybe Seattle just did this to him, but the 49ers, they have no explosive players. Now, I know people will say what he's talking about, McCaffrey, and I get it. McCaffrey's, you know, he's solid. Like, he's the foundation of the offense. But when he is struggling like he was, like, big plays are out of the question.
Well, they didn't even have enough time to put together a big play.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know what Pearsall would have done or not, but at least he's got some speed. Like, they just don't have enough weapons right now.
He killed Seattle in week one. You know, I know a lot of his yardage came on that last drive and that big 40-plus yard delivery by Purdy, which set up the game-winning touchdown. But, I mean, he's shown that he can do it against the Seahawks. I just, like, recently, and maybe that's why the 49ers kept him and Trent out of that game. Like, yes, it was a massive game. If it's the playoffs, I'm assuming, and next week they will, like, I would hope that both of them are out there, but maybe that was the difference. It wasn't a do-or-die game. You know, if that was for a playoff berth, maybe we do see both Trent Williams and Ricky Pearsall out there.
By the same token, you could make a case that if they lose that game, their chances are 15% to win the Super Bowl, and if they win that game, their chances are 50% to win the Super Bowl. So play... hope we win, are unscathed, and now they have 2 weeks off, maybe. I get it. Well, I mean, I'm not questioning
it's like burning
that.
A pitcher in game four,
right?
Down 3-1.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you still have to win those next games, but you got to get to the next game. Like, I think that game drastically impacted the 49ers' chance to win a Super Bowl.
No doubt.
It just did. And that's why people are sitting here on Monday thinking, damn, what could have been?
Let's go to Jeff in Marin. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So, you know, look, I think this has a lot to do with the offensive game plan, too. If you think about the previous games, like against the Colts and the Bears, it was the most wide-open offense I've seen with Shanahan since I can remember. I kept on waiting in the game. Where's the rollouts? And when they finally, in the second half, had Purdy roll out, what happened? The offense started moving right down the field on the ground and in the air, and but for that kind of fluky tipped ball that led it to an interception of McCaffrey, they were right there on the doorstep about to score 7. So I think that's a big thing. I think also, you know, people calling and say, well, you know, Purdy was holding the ball too long. Purdy had to hold the ball because nobody was getting open. And I think, you know, one of your previous callers talked about how we need a real number one. I think if Pearsall is healthy, he can be that. But as you guys are saying, he got, you know, his nickname should be Crystal. He can't stay on the field. When he's on it, he's great. But they need, in my opinion, to do a couple things. One, they need to get a true number one who can stay healthy. Good luck with that. They need to spend some draft capital on the offensive line. And, you know, even when Bosa comes back, they and Mikal Williams does, you know, they need somebody who can be a pass rusher. And so it's a lot of things that they have a need for. I'm thrilled that they got as far as they have. I think, can they beat Philadelphia? Yeah, but they sure as heck better open up the offensive game plan like they did in those previous games. What
yeah.
do you guys think?
No, I'm with you, Jeff. And Evan shared a story. And I hope I'm not talking out of turn, but
you always drop dime on me, so yeah. I should expect nothing different in 2026.
So Evan and Carter Chickering went to the game together.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Carter was on his way home.
Well, we carpooled.
Yeah, that's right. You're in the same car.
I drove.
And Carter just said, do you know what we got to do now? We have to win at Philly, at L.A., and then at Seattle. That's why this was such a brutal loss, because that's what they have to do now, and there's no getting around it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you never know. Teams could get knocked off and stuff like that, but
they can't play a home game unless somehow the Packers get to the NFC Championship along with the Niners.
Think about the insanity of that.
Yeah, they're not going to be a Levi's. I was sipping the Kool-Aid a little bit after the Sunday night win, and just being there on Saturday at Laughing Monk, I was thinking, God, this would be great. I'm going to come back here in 2 weeks, and you know we're going to have another three-hour show, and people are going to have a good time. The wings are absolutely delicious, and there's giveaways and prizes, and people are having a fun time. And then they lost the game, and I'm walking back to the car with Carter. I'm just, we're probably not going to come back here this year, unless it's obviously the Super Bowl. But that path is far more daunting. You know, when you win on the road to get to the Super Bowl, you have to beat the best teams. Yeah. And to your point, you laid this out earlier, and it's unfortunately really sobering. It's like, who are the teams they've lost to this year? They're all playoff teams. And you got to go win those games on the road. On the road.
Yeah. I mean, I like what Kyle Shanahan said after the game about what they got to do now.
I mean, it's what we expected. I mean, just with their defense, we expected to do better than we did. But we knew it was a good defense. We knew that in week one. We knew it from watching tape all week. We knew it would be a challenge. And they got us in a number of moments, had a couple opportunities, I thought, that we missed. And you can't miss those versus a team like that.
All right, this is the one where he talks about the path now being much more difficult.
Oh, we're ready for it. I mean, yeah, it would have been nice to, you know, to have a home game here, or both home games, and get a bye. But it is what it is. I mean, this team's been through a lot this year. Now we got to do it the hard way, and we'll embrace out doing it the hard way and look forward to it.
All right, Kyle Shanahan, I like the way he handled that. Just said, yeah, it would have been nice. He didn't say, yeah, this is devastating. I mean, I don't think any coach would, but
I think that's also where the playoff experience does come into play. It's like, the Niners lost a big game to the Seahawks, but they've also been in this position before. They have won multiple games on the road as an underdog. They did it with Jimmy Garoppolo.
There's also a few games this year that Mac Jones quarterbacked, and we're saying they probably don't have a chance to win this game.
That's the reason why they're in that game in the first place.
Like, to me, you know what would be the most fitting for the Niners this year is to go to Philly and win that game. Like, that would continue the kind of season, to me, that they're having. The minute you think, oh, you know what, it's everything's, you know, we're not that good, and we're going to, this is when they win the next game.